course, one of the challenges is when we're not feeling well and we don't feel that energy and we feel a sense of, you know, what's wrong? What did I do wrong? And sometimes we have what's called metaphysical guilt. That if I'm sick, and it's easy to judge somebody else. Well, if they're sick, I wonder what they were holding in consciousness. But we recognize, okay, so what am I doing? What can I do different? And I always like to think of the word responsibility this way, that responsibility is not, that I'm responsible, but responsibility is about my ability to respond to the Spirit. And if I'm willing to move, if I'm willing to grow, if I'm willing to be open, then God can do something new through me. But I have to have that responsibility to see that the Spirit can do something else. Because in life, we have stress, and stress creates disease. And it's interesting how even a couple decades ago in the American Journal of Medicine, they were willing to say at that time that 80% of all illness was from stress. And now there's some researchers who are even pushing it towards 95%, 99%, some even willing to say that all of it's of stress of some kind. And we all have stress in life. If we're alive and in the body, then we have stress of something. To pick something up, it takes using the muscles and creating stress there to do that. And so we have in all kinds of ways. It's our response to stress that makes a difference. Now, one thing that occurred to me years ago when somebody was saying, oh, well, someone's sick and I wonder what they did in their consciousness to create it. What occurred to me was that when a tree has a burl, and you've all seen this, usually they make them into furniture, tabletops or something like that. So here's this tree and it's got this big growth on the side. What was in the consciousness of the tree to create that burl? I don't think that makes any sense to ask that question. And again, it's interesting that tree scientists don't really even know what causes them. They said it might be an insect. It might be bacteria or a virus. They said it might be just a place where a branch was supposed to grow and it grew out weird. So it's like they don't even really know for sure what it is. But one of the things that they found, if they'll take some of that material where that burl is and put it in water, it'll grow roots and it'll grow a normal tree. And so once it's in the flow, it can grow the way it's supposed to. So something happened, some kind of stress, happened to it, but if it's in that flow, it can grow in the normal way. And to me, that's a metaphor for us as well, because we're going to have stress in this life. But if we can get in that flow, if we get in that movement of spirit, that movement of life, that energy of blessing, then we can have that sense of wholeness working in and through us in any experience. The scripture that we have today comes from a very interesting story. It's told in Matthew. It's told in some other Gospels as well. It's about a woman who had been ill. She'd been having a hemorrhage, one of the translations says, for 12 years. And the other Gospel says that she'd gone to many doctors and spent all her money and was worse off than she was before. And you've known people, maybe you've had an experience like that as well. That the medical approach hasn't been able to solve the problem. So in her mind, she's heard about Jesus. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, or one of the translations says the fringe of his robe, I know that I can be healed. And so she does that. And in the story, Jesus is actually on his way on another mission. One of the rulers of the temple has asked him to come and heal his daughter. He says, my daughter's dead, but I know if you come and you bless her that she'll be alive again. So he's on his way, and because he's a well-known person in town, there's a whole crowd of people with the disciples and everybody else following along as they're moving towards the house. Jesus stops for a moment and says, somebody touched me. And the disciples go, somebody touched you? Look, there's people all around you. He says, no, I felt the energy. And so he stops, and this woman comes forward. She said, it was me. And he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. And it says she was healed in that. And so it's recognizing that there's this energy flow that the body is about. And again, so many times when we think about the body, we just think of it in terms of its atoms and molecules and its cells and its organs and it's these systems that's what health is about. But again, what medical science is pointing us to, they usually call it the mind-body connection. But we know that there's another piece to that too. It's body, mind, and spirit that are all part of what this is. And if there's a disturbance or stress in any one of these, it shows up in the rest of them as well. We've all seen that, haven't we? If you're upset about something, doesn't your body get tense? And if your body doesn't feel good, then you get grumpy. You know, it's like, it all works together. If you're not sure what your life is supposed to be about and where you're supposed to go, then it shows up as blocks in the other parts of the system as well. So it's not separate parts. It's all one cohesive unit that's there for us. It's an energy system. And again, when she touched the hem of his garment, in her mind, she was connecting with that flow. So that's what we want to do, is connect with that flow of spirit. And it's not necessarily in anything, but it's in everything. It's available to us in every experience. It's available within ourselves. And we want to connect with that for ourselves. And again, just to see some of the ways that this is pointed to by others, this comes from John Prentice, who was a newspaper man back in the 1700s. The body and mind are so closely connected that not even a single word or thought can come into existence without being reflected in the personality and health of the individual. Personality is this part, the health he's talking about, the body. Every single word and thought, he says, will work out into expression. And again, that's part of our responsibility, to respond to what isn't working so that we can change in another way. So this is even earlier. This is Marcus Agrippa. He was a general during the ancient Roman time. Here's what he said. So great a power is there of the soul upon the body that whichever way the soul imagines and dreams that it goes, there does it lead the body. So whatever it is that we're thinking and working with, it influences the body. They knew it a long time ago. This one is from Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran faith. Heavy thoughts bring on physical maladies. When the soul is oppressed, so is the body. Again, we've all had those experiences of life. And so the key is that we can have a different experience when we connect with mighty currents of God's healing love. This is part of an affirmation that has been used in silent unity for decades and decades. Mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now. Let's say that together. Mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now. Now, one of the things that came up at our prosperity class on Monday was one of the guys said, well, affirmations don't work. And I said, you're right. By themselves, just as words, they don't do anything. But what affirmations are about, they're pointing to a truth, the reality of God, the reality of spirit that's available to us. And what we're trying to do is get it working in our consciousness. So we say it over and over and over again, not to make it true, but over and over again to get ourselves connected with its truth so that its truth is living in us. And you know, remember Charles Fillmore used to say you have to say an affirmation 2,500 times for it to work. And again, it's not just to repeat it and repeat it. Jesus warned about vain repetition, but it's about speaking as a part of that resonating energy that is the spirit, that is the life of God, to feel it working in and through us, to connect the feelings to the words, to connect to that flow. That's when there's power. It's the power of spirit, not the power of words, but the power of that living word that is in each of us. Now, this affirmation has been very powerful. And years ago, when I was serving at the Unity Church in Merced, about 28 years ago, I got infectious hepatitis. And it struck me one Sunday during the middle of the service, and all of a sudden I was very, very, very tired. I could barely stand up. I finished the service, and I went to the building next door where my office was, and I went into my office, I closed the door, and I laid down on the floor. And that's all I could do. In fact, some of the board members were in the outer office counting the offering, getting ready for the deposit. And they were talking to my wife later, and they said, I think Blair's mad. I said, why? Well, he went to his office and closed the door. I said, no, he was nearly dead. He wasn't mad. So Meredith got me home, and I basically slept for the next 2 days. And when I got up late on the second day, and Meredith turned the light on and looked at me, and my skin was all yellow. So she called the doctor and gave him the symptoms. They said, yes, he's got infectious hepatitis. And she said, should I bring him in? He said, no, don't bring him in. We don't want anybody else to get it. And they said, well, what do you do? Well, there's no medicine. It's you just rest. And they said, and after about 6 weeks, he'll begin to feel better. So what I did was at every waking moment that I had, I said, mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now. I got it so I was even saying it when I wasn't awake, because I would said it over and over and over and over again. Within 2 weeks, I was back at work. Not fully functioning, but at least functioning somewhat. And so it sped up the process quite a bit. So again, it wasn't magic, didn't make me whole just like that, but it moved me on a path towards wholeness much more quickly than medical science predicted. And so that's the key, to put ourselves in that flow with that. Now, again, there's different ways that we can language it, because again, those words aren't magic, they don't have power. So there's another way to say it. The healing power of God's love flows through us now. Let's say that. The healing power of God's love flows through us now. Now notice in this version, instead of me, I put us. And I did that on purpose. Because what I found is that when I'm praying for my own healing and remembering that other people need healing as well, I open myself up to a larger system, to a larger connection, to a larger movement of God's energy. And so praying for others as we're praying for ourselves helps expand our consciousness in a greater way. Remember, Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. So the two or three doesn't mean that they even need to know that we're praying for them. We gather them together when we pray in our minds and hearts. So here's another version too. We are one with the flow of God's healing love. Let's say that one. We are one with the flow of God's healing love. And it's that flow, feeling that oneness with the flow, that makes the difference in our lives. So there's three F's that I'd like you to think about and work with to help put you in the flow of these mighty currents of God's healing love. The first F is to friend your body. You know, on Facebook, you friend someone, so friend has become a verb. So I want you to friend your body, to see your body not as the problem, not as an enemy, but as your ally, body, mind, spirit, this connection that's there, so that you're working together with it. Again, here's a couple things that people have said. This comes from Al Wong. Many people treat their bodies as if they were rented from Hertz. Something they are using to get around in, but nothing they generally care about understanding. Al Wong is a wonderful Tai Chi master, and his work is all about movement, about moving and being in this body and blessing it and taking care of it. This is from the Buddha. The true ascetic, and I didn't change this, does not gratify the body, but he cares for the body that he may advance in the spiritual life. Cared for it, meaning the body, is a better vessel for truth. So again, we don't deny the body. We don't pretend that it's not there. We don't pretend that we're not human, but we care for it in a way so it can be a vessel for consciousness. Jesus called it your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So to see it that way, to see it as an ally working for you and through you in life, and not as an enemy. Remember in the 23rd Psalm, there's that line, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And if you think about in the Eastern tradition, when you had a meal with someone, they became family. So if God's preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies, what does that mean? We're inviting our enemies to dinner so that they're no longer our enemies. And so that's part of why we bless our food, is that we bring a blessing to this experience that we have of taking the physical energy in, because we also want to take that spiritual energy in as a part of that blessing. Remember last week I talked about the word Christ, meaning anointed or anointing. We want to see this anointing of spirit taking place on our physical form, so that energy of blessing is working for us. So make your body your friend, not your enemy. And what happens is that when we don't make our body our friend, then we sometimes feel guilty about getting the medical help that can be helpful. Because sometimes our consciousness needs something some space and some blessing to help get us to the point where we can change our consciousness. But if we're feeling lousy, it's hard to pray. And so sometimes it's okay. And so sometimes when the doctor's recommending surgery or medication, again, pray about for guidance, but don't say that it's bad, because where did the wisdom for that come from? It came from spirit. How did they figure that stuff out? God gave somebody an idea and they paid attention to it and followed through on it. And so there's a recognition that we can have, that there's a connection and a blessing that we can have. And so we don't need to feel guilty about that, but access that and bless our body in every way that we can. A couple months ago, I was talking about someone who refers to our bodies as earth suits. Just as if you're out in space, you have a space suit, and you'd want that space suit to be fully functioning while you're out in space. Well, in your earth suit, you want it to be fully functioning as well while you're here, because we can only have those earth experiences that we need for our growth in the earth suit. And so to be a friend for it and take care of it, move and bless in a way that works. So again, think of the body as an energy system. And again, spirit, mind, body, all connected, all is a part of an energy. And what is that about? It's that energy has to move, doesn't it? It's not static, it's got to move. And so our bodies have to move. And so do what it is that it takes to get your body to be able to move with that sense of aliveness and spirit. And one of the ways to do that is, again, to imagine that it's being blessed by love. Mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now. And so there's this heart prayer, heart meditation that we use. There's the poster that Pat did is there, but here's another version of it here. So you start at the center, at the top, breathing in, thinking I, breathing out, thinking am, breathing in, thinking God, breathing out, thinking love. And so with that, it's bringing that sense of God's love as a healing presence, as a blessing, as strength right here. So I am God's love. And then if you want to, you can make that heart big enough so that it's blessing your whole body. And you're just breathing in that presence of love. I am God's love. And it helps. It helps me if I actually, you know, do those movements, because then it helps me feel the words. It helps them be connected in a way that it's not just words that my mind is chattering, but it's an experience that I'm connected into. And even if you're sitting waiting someplace or standing in line, you could even just do the heart in the palm of your hand. I am God's love. And if you're, you know, waiting at the lawyers, whatever, you know, whatever stressful events happen in your life, yeah, you can be connected to that love of God, and you can be moving the energy of your consciousness in a way that's going to be helpful rather than holding on to the tension that comes from stress. So friend your body. That's the first F. The second F is to follow guidance. Again, God has information for you. Your body has information for you about what's going on and what isn't going on. And if we learn to be open to that guidance, then we can have information to work in a different way. I love this word involution. It's about bringing into consciousness the ideas of God, the movement of spirit. And again, we want involution first before evolution. If we have that inworking of spirit, there can be an outworking of spirit. And so that first step is to be open to that guidance of God, to be open to what we need to know. And so I invite you to think of it this way, of putting God first, going to God first, and then following what God gives you to do. You've got a symptom you're dealing with. You've got a situation you're dealing with. All right, God, what do I need to know about this? Who can I ask for help? And see what comes, because what may come to you may be different than what you would have done on your own. And again, certainly if God advises you, directs you to go for medical help, traditional Western medicine, that's fine. But there's also lots of alternative medicines, or what now they call complementary medicine, that works as well. And so we recognize that there's lots of things that we can draw on, some things we may not have thought of. And as we open ourselves, and even if you go to someone, if you go to a medical doctor or some other practitioner, when you're talking with them and then they're telling you what their opinion is, be listening to spirit. As the words come out of their mouth, see what's coming out of spirit. Because they may be saying something, and I love to ask questions because I know that I need more information. And so I'm listening to their answer, but I'm also listening to spirit at the same time. Because again, there's something that I know I need to let go of. If I have dis-ease, if I'm under stress of some kind, there's something I need to let go of, and there's something I need to build into my life in a new way. And so I may not know what that is. Many of you are familiar with the Abraham material. Here's how he talks about pain. Anytime you have a physical discomfort of any kind, whether you call it emotional or physical pain within your body, it always means the same thing. And here's what he puts in quotes for what it means. I have a desire that is summoning energy, but I have a belief that is not allowing, so I've created resistance in my body. So you hear what he's saying? There's something that we wanted to bring forth, something that we want to connect with, but there's something else in our consciousness that's saying no to it. And so there's a battle going on. We call it chemicalization. And we're trying to get that new working, but the old patterns are still there. And so what he says is this: the solution every single time is to releasing of the discomfort or pain is the relaxation and the reaching for the feeling of relief. Relief, relaxation and relief. So again, it's saying, all right, God, what do I need to know? What do I need to do? And be open and see what spirit is moving in that connection. Because there's a flow, a mighty current of God's healing love that's available to us. And with that love comes the wisdom and power that we need for transformation. And we're not stuck with the way things are, the way that we are. We can be open, follow the guidance, and something else can move for us. So that, we can be in that flow. That's the third F, to flow. And there's two aspects to this flow. Just as with guidance, there's the flow to release, and there's the flow to infill, to work in ourselves. And again, thinking back of that burl, that when you take a piece of it off and you plant it in the water, it grows normal and healthy. And so recognize that as we let go of those patterns that we don't need, then that wholeness of God, that pattern of radiance that we're meant to live out, can come and express in and through us in our lives right where we are. But there may be something that we have to release. You know, the Jungians call it the shadow self. You know, that stuff in there that we haven't accepted about ourselves, and we usually project it on others. You know, it's like that needs to be released. We need to do some work of looking at being present to those parts of ourselves that we don't like to be a part of. But to know, okay, well, there it is. I still get angry. I still get frustrated. I still am disappointed. You know, I still am arrogant sometimes. And so those need to be addressed and identified so they can be released, so that different pattern can come through, can work in our lives. In our prosperity book that we're looking at on Wednesdays, Charles Fillmore had a piece where he said, eliminate all negative thoughts that come into your mind. Yet do not spend all of your time in denials, but give much of it to the clear realization of the everywhere present and waiting substance and life. So again, we let go of that stuff so that we can connect again in a larger way, in a more powerful way, with that living presence of God working in our life. So the image that comes to me is this, you know, mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now, is that there's this waterfall of God's healing love, this mighty currents that are just pouring on me. And I found this picture that sort of helps give you an image of what I have in mind. It's just this outpouring of that energy of God that's just there. And I let it move through me to release what needs to be released, so that can be an infilling of that blessing of God, or an anointing of that spirit working in the body, in the mind, in my spirit, in a way of blessing. So whatever it is that needs to be released, I offer it to God, let it go. And so this is we can think in terms of bathing in that healing power of God's love, bathing in light. Again, there's lots of metaphors for it, but find what works for you and have this sense of just splashing in that energy of God and just going, ah, thank you, God, and just having a great time in it and letting it move in your life. Again, there's lots of ways to look at it. There's a book that at least the earliest reference I found, it was 1954. It's a book called Divine Remedies, a textbook on Christian healing by Theodosia DeWitt Schobert. And it's mostly, she has this things, you know, like if you have pain in your ear, if your heart isn't working, if there's something wrong with your, you know, some part of your body, she has like affirmations for it. This one, I like this one. She says, the substance of my life is pure spirit. The substance of my body is pure spirit. My body is the temple of the living God, and it is pure and holy and perfect in every part. All the activities of spirit in the temple are perfect and harmonious, and every function of my body is performed in divine wisdom and order. So you can just get a sense of what her consciousness was for that. And again, in the 80s, Louise Hay did something different with her book, You Can Heal Your Life. And again, if you've got difficulty with a certain part of your body, there's a chart in there where you can look at what are the thoughts that are probably connected to that and what are the words that you can use. So I'm going to leave these up here afterwards if anybody wants to come up and look at it. It was interesting. I went online and there's an original copy from 1954 of this online for $173. so you can borrow mine. So, and what does it say? Is that we've got this system, this body, mind, spirit system, and then when there's stress, we have dis-ease. And in life, we're going to have stress. And so what is our work? Our work is to recognize that there's this flow. There's this current. There's this mighty current. There's this mighty current of love, mighty currents of God's healing love, mighty currents of God's healing love flowing through us now. And again, just build yourself into that, just that current, and just feel it rising up and moving in and through you, doing its work with its wisdom, knowing exactly what you need and what you don't know. Because life happens. And it creates stress in us, and we react to it with that stress. But love blesses. When life happens, remember that love blesses. And that power of love is greater than the stressors in life. That power of love wants to move in and through us in a greater and greater way. It's already present, otherwise we wouldn't even be able to breathe. Because do you have to plan your breathing? You don't have to plan your next breath, do you? It just, you know, that wisdom of God is there. That love of God is already working. So we want to expand its work in and through us. And remembering that we are one with that flow of God's healing love. Mighty currents of God's healing love flow through us now. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the renewing awareness of your presence that is at work and wants to work in a greater way, and so we let it. We let ourselves be friends with our bodies. We follow the guidance we get from you, and we let the flow of your spirit move to help us release what we need to release so that we can fill ourselves with your life, your energy, your joy, your vitality, your blessing. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Amen.